been to try, if the Lord gives me liberty, to preach a message based on whatever, if we're observing a holiday or whatsoever, try to bring a message that way. But this Sunday, my message is not going to be about Mother's Day, and I hope you all understand that. I feel extremely burdened to bring you a message about what I believe is the most important question a man could ever ask. And that's the question that was put forth by Pilate just a little over 2,000 years ago. If you're visiting with us this morning, you may think you're here just because you want to show your mother how much you love her and appreciate her, and I'm sure that's the reason on your part. But you're here because God led you to be here. And so I pray you'd let His Word speak to you this morning about the very most important question that any man could ever ask. Pilate asked the question, and I hope you've answered this question according to God's word. Matthew 27, look at verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Jesus was silent. Has God ever been silent in your life? Has he ever refused to speak to a situation that you really wish he would speak to? Well, sometimes he exercises his prerogative to be silent. Do you know why our Lord did not respond when he was questioned by Pilate? Our Lord did not respond because he knew those men were not looking for the truth. And folks, the Lord's word today, if I can say it this way, this book we hold in our hands is the written word of God. And this book, if you want to say it this way, has a twin. And that's the living word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just as the Lord was silent and he didn't give a response to those men who didn't want the truth, can I tell you that if an infidel or a skeptic comes to this Bible looking for errors and looking for faults and mistakes, you know what this Bible is going to do for their soul? Nothing. It won't speak to them. If you want your Bible to speak to you, then you come to the book understanding it is the very Word of God, and I believe it. Just get that settled. That was free. Now, back to the text here. Verse number 15. Now, at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Who will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they delivered him. So Pilate gave his audience a choice. He said, I can release Barabbas, which is a known criminal, or I can let this Jesus called Christ go. Folks, can I say today that the multitude still chooses the murderer over Jesus Christ? You know what the Bible calls the devil? It said he was a murderer from the beginning. People still desire the ways of the devil over the Lord Jesus Christ. Not much has changed in 2,000 years. As you come on down here, you see the Lord was being interrogated, as it were. But let me remind you, it wasn't the Lord that was really on trial. It was Pilate himself. He comes as he is crucifying our Lord, and Pilate's question is, verse number 22, Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Let's pray together. Lord, I pray you'd help me this morning and give me understanding and a clear mind. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to your people who are here. May we understand that no greater question that could be asked than what will we do with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, folks, give me just a minute of your time. I won't keep you very long, but I want you to see some things about this question. Pilate said to his audience, What shall I do then with Jesus? Now, I hope you've asked yourself that question, because that's a question that no man is going to be able to get out of. Pilate here, although he may have thought that he was interrogating our Lord, as I said, Pilate was really the one being judged. You come through the scripture and you find that God teaches great truths in questions. How many of you found there's a lot of questions in the Bible? As I've told you before, God never asks a man a question to get any information. When God puts a question to man, God wants that man to come face to face with the answer. So Pilate said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Pilate, in those words, although he may not have understood what he was saying, was echoing the most important question that can ever be put to man. Now, I want to look at that question just for a few minutes this morning. First of all, notice it's a personal question. Look back at the text again. Pilate said, what then shall I do? See it there in verse 22? What shall I do? He didn't say, what shall we do? Or what will the multitude do? Pilate said, what shall I do with Jesus? Can I remind you that salvation is a personal matter? You don't get saved because your parents were saved. You don't get saved because you were brought up in church. It's a personal matter. I heard a preacher say one time that God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. Now you think about that. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He has sons and daughters who have trusted his son for salvation. Now this is a question that's very personal. And we live in such an impersonal world, don't we? But when it comes to the Lord, you as an individual mean so much to him that he was willing to go to Calvary and shed his blood for your sakes. So the first thing about this question is it is a very personal question. You will have to answer this question someday, folks, and nobody else can do it for you. I thank God that I have a church family like this, but I want to remind you, when it comes to standing before the Lord, we won't stand together as a congregation. Paul the Apostle said, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. This matter about trusting Jesus Christ as Savior, no matter what you may have been brought up to believe, you must personally, as an individual, either accept or reject Jesus Christ. It's not in works. It's not in your family tree. It's not in intellect. It's a matter of you either accepting him or turning him away. And the question's a very personal question. Pilate was truly, in many respects, in distress. He was frustrated with the question, and he said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Look at the answer they gave him in verse 22. They all say unto him, let him be crucified. So the first thing about this question, it's a personal question. Let me give you something else about this question. Will you turn to Luke chapter 23? Hold your place here and go to Luke 23. It's a personal question, but it's an inescapable question. Pilate thought he was pretty smart. And as our Lord was facing Pilate and the future of our Lord, as it looked from the man's perspective, was in the hands of this Roman governor, all of a sudden the light bulb went off in Pilate's head. Pilate, I believe he was a man in agony over his decision. And Pilate thought he had finally found a way to pass the buck on this question. And as Pilate was standing there with the Lord, someone made a statement that caught Pilate's ear. What the Bible says about it in Luke 23. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give himself tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. Verse number 4, then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from, what's the next word, folks? Galilee. That little word perked Pilate's attention. And finally, a light bulb went off in Pilate's thinking. Verse number 6, when Pilate heard of, what's the word? He asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. Finally, what a relief. Pilate's going to get rid of Jesus Christ. Pilate learns that this man Jesus is from Galilee, and Pilate knows that Galilee falls within the jurisdiction of King Herod. All together so far? So Pilate now has a way out. So Pilate says, send this man, send this Jesus of Nazareth, send him to Herod. He's not my problem anymore. And I can see them as they lead our Savior away to go to Herod. Maybe Pilate just sort of fell down in his seat and wiped his brow. Whew. Well, I'm glad that's over with. And as far as he knew, he'd never have to look at that Jesus Christ again. As far as he knew, he'd gotten rid of Christ. As far as Pilate knew, that man was just going to be a memory. But you and I know the rest of the story, don't we? We know something about how they treated our Lord. If you'll look in this same chapter, chapter 23, look at verse number 11. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. What happened here? That Jesus he thought he'd gotten rid of, now he was back at his front door. Can I tell you something? You won't get rid of Jesus Christ.
Right.
You may postpone it. You may think you've got a deal worked out. You may think that this salvation business and coming to Christ by faith is all right for everybody else. But as I've heard more than one man say, I've got a deal. Me and the Lord have something worked out. Sorry, friend. It's not like that. Pilate thought he'd finally gotten rid of the Lord. And then can you imagine maybe one of Pilate's stewards or the servant of his house says, Master, this Jesus is back. Pilate thought he'd done away with him. You may be here this morning and you may be lost. And you may be still in your sins and headed to hell. And God may have dealt with you in the past over and over again and you turned him down. And brother, in the ministry, these men who have preached, you can say the same thing. You can see when people are being dealt with and they're under conviction. Haven't you fellas seen it? You're preaching and hold on to the pew in front of them. And visibly you can see the struggle on their face. Christ is dealing with them. He's wooing them, so to speak. And they say no. And they leave that church service and think, well, I'm glad I got out of there. Talk about the pressure. You know what they think they've done? They think they've gotten rid of this question about Jesus Christ. But I say with all the sincerity in my heart, you may have said no to him today, but you'll have to answer that question. There's a lot of things you may be able to get out of in life, but you won't get out of answering that question. A lot of appointments you may cancel. You can cancel your dentist appointment, cancel your doctor's appointment. A lot of things you can get out of. But if there's one thing that you'll not be able to get away from is the question, what shall I do with Jesus Christ? Pilate thought he had found a way, and then Herod sent him back. Something interesting happened between Pilate and Herod, though. If you're still here in chapter 23, look at verse 12. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were in enmity between themselves. Two rivals, and now they were made friends. Have you noticed sometimes people who would usually be at war with one another, if they're both involved in the same heinous act, they sort of draws them together? You know what drew these two men together? Their common problem. You know who their common problem was? You know who the problem was for Herod and Pilate? It was that man, Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, there are groups and masses and millions of people all over this world who despise our Lord Jesus Christ. They see him as the problem. And men who might otherwise never have any associations with each other will come together on their mutual hatred of Jesus Christ. And I tell you the other side of that coin, however, look around you today. I've said this before, but I would be willing to bet the farm, if I had a farm and if I was a betting man, that most of us, maybe all of us, I don't know, if it were not for our common faith in Jesus Christ, we'd never cross each other's paths in this life. We have different tastes, different desires, different backgrounds. And if it weren't for our faith in Christ, we'd never have met each other. But you know what brings us all together? Do you know what causes us to spend 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 minutes shaking each other's hands in the aisle? You know what brings us together? Our common faith in one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes the difference. Jesus Christ is the most polarizing figure in history. It doesn't seem like there's any middle ground when it comes to Jesus. Have you noticed that? Either you love him or men hate him. You talk to some folks about the Lord Jesus Christ and you can see visibly the hatred welling up in them. Talk about God all day, they don't get upset. Talk about Allah, nobody gets upset. Talk about Buddha, you're all right, you're progressive. But you start talking about Jesus Christ, who was hung on a bloody tree, and he's the dividing line. So one thing about this question, it was a very personal question, and it was an inescapable question. I'd like to remind you that Pilate faced the question. Adolf Hitler faced the question. Mussolini faced the question. Mother Teresa faced the question. Every U.S. president faced the question. Folks, what I'm trying to say to you is nobody escapes. No matter the wealth of a man, the intellect of a man, or the power of a man, nobody escapes having to answer this question. What will I do with Jesus Christ? The poor have to answer the question. The prosperous have to answer the question. The educated, the uneducated have to answer the question. If there's one thing that humanity has in common, is that they've got to do something with Jesus Christ. And sadly, most of the world, when it comes to Christ, says, go thy way. Isn't it something, folks? Our Lord was born in a stable and laid in someone else's tomb. You know what that says about the Lord? It really says volumes. It says this world really has never had any place for Christ. No place for him to be born, and didn't even have his own grave to be laid in. Isn't that something? He was a man of sorrow. I've heard it said before that God made one man without sin, but God made no men without sorrow. I mean by that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was without sin, but even he couldn't escape sorrow. He was rejected all of his life. But as again, I know I'm belaboring this point, but something about this question, and familiarize yourself with the question again. It's in verse 22 where we started. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now, Pilate allowed the people to answer for him. In verse 22, when he asked that question, the scripture says, they all say unto him, let him be crucified. But I want to remind you, nobody else is going to be able to answer that question for you. This mob answered for Pilate, but you know who's going to answer for you? You. It's personal. I don't know when it may be. I don't know the timetable. I can't make the prediction. But you're going to stand before the Lord. If you're lost, you're going to stand before him at the white throne judgment. And what will your answer be? You'll have to make a decision. Something else about this question, once you die, the decision has been made by default. If you think you can wait till you die to see what's on the other side before you make the decision, answer the question, I'm afraid you're wrong. Yes, sir. What I mean is if you don't trust Christ while you're alive and you die that way, then you have effectively answered Pilate's question. And you've said, send him away. So death will make the decision for you. Amen? I mean, death's it. If you don't out and out choose Christ, then when you die, the decision's made. No more second chances. So it's a personal question. It's an inescapable question. Then I want to give you this too. There's some lessons about this question involving its determining nature. This question, really, and your answer to it, will decide how Christ deals with you. Isn't that something? How you deal with Jesus Christ will determine how he deals with you. And how you answer this question determines your eternity. Amen? What this question really is saying is, what will I do with the Son of God? And your answer determines what the Son of God is going to do with you. If you say yes to the Son of God, you know what he'll say to you? Yes. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So if you take him, I've got news for you, he'll take you. If you reject him, as Pilate did, that determines his attitude toward you. You reject him, he will reject you. How many of you have heard the old expression, he who laughs last, laughs best? Maybe you've heard it this way, he'll have the last laugh. You ever heard that? You know that's a Bible expression. If you go over to Proverbs chapter 1, the Bible says, because you did not hearken unto my counsel, God says, I will laugh, I will mock at you when your trouble comes. Isn't that something to think about, God laughing at a man who has died in his sins? You say, I can't reconcile that with my idea of God as some cosmic Santa Claus who loves everybody. I just couldn't imagine God laughing at the sinner and mocking the sinner. I want to remind you something. Before that takes place, that sinner laughed at God. That sinner mocked the Lord. Some folks just recoil at that. Read Proverbs 1 sometime. Read over there in the Psalms where the Bible says, the Lord will vex them in his sore displeasure. He shall laugh at them. So you know who's going to get the last laugh before it all folds up? The Lord. How you answer this question determines what he does with you. Now, again, you may find it hard to believe that God would ever laugh at a man while that man is being under the wrath of God. I want to remind you, when they crucified God's Son on Calvary, they laughed at him. I'll say this mildly. Our Lord was crucified without his clothes on. You know, I can't think of a more shameful thing to do to a man. Can you imagine the shame, folks? It wasn't bad enough that he's out there hanging with common criminals. Now they've stripped him of all of his clothes. And as they circle his cross as he's hanging there, they're laughing at him and pointing and laughing. Can you see that? You know what those men said? You know how they answered Pilate's question? They said, let him be crucified. So you see, God will have the last laugh. So this question, it determines what God's going to do to you. If you accept him, he'll accept you. If you reject him, he'll reject you. You know, that's why children have always been fertile ground for evangelism and salvation. You know why children are easier to lead to Christ? Is because they haven't been educated out of simple faith yet. You tell them Jesus Christ loves them and he died for their sins, and if they'll trust him to save him, they'll be saved. Do you want Jesus to save you? Do you want the Lord to be your Savior? Yes. It's easy with children. And by the way, don't be quick to judge a child's profession of faith. Jesus said, suffer not the little children to come unto me. Suffer the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Something happens to men when they get older. They get smarter, they think. So it's a simple question. It's a determining question. Now, let's look here as we finish at Pilate's answer. Number one, Pilate gave the wrong answer. Pilate was a coward. Can I say that to you again? Pilate was a coward. He feared the people more than he feared God. Pilate knew that Jesus Christ was an innocent man. And he even said it. Pilate even said, this man's done nothing worthy of death. Pontius Pilate's in hell this morning. You know what sent him to hell? He answered the question wrong. He gave the wrong answer. Let that soak in for a few minutes. Pilate is in hell this morning. Because he rejected the Lord and answered the question the wrong way. You think he'd do anything different now? Pilate let his fear of man send him to hell. I wonder how many folks have gone to hell because they were afraid to come to Christ because of what somebody may think about them. You know, I'll tell you this. How many of you have ever heard of a preacher named Vance Havner? He's with the Lord now, but I just love to listen to the man. And he said he was in a revival meeting one night, and a man that was being dealt with of the Lord would not trust Christ, night after night after night. That man just would not come to Christ. And so Vance Havner said, I approached the man at the end of the meeting, and he said, I said, sir, it seems that you're being dealt with seriously. Would you accept Christ? He said, I don't need your religion. He said, that's for the weak. He said, I'm a man. A man makes his own way. He wanted to give the idea that rejecting Jesus Christ was a tough man's game. And I tell you something, though, you know what that fellow really was? He was a coward. He wasn't a strong man. He wasn't a tough man. He was a coward. He was afraid of what he may have to change or what he may have to give up or what folks may think about him. Listen, folks, you may be here this morning and you may be charter members of Truth Baptist Church. You may have been here 20 years and everybody may think you're saved and you may have just acted the part year after year and you won't come to Christ for fear of what men may say or think about you. Well, if I come to Christ, all these folks are going to know I haven't been saved all this time. Now, I want to assure you of one thing. If that happened, and if you came forward and trusted Christ today, nobody here would laugh at it. We'd rejoice with you. We don't want you to go to hell. Christ doesn't want you to go to hell. Don't let your fear send you there. Pilate was a coward, and he feared the men more than he feared God. And so he gave the wrong answer, although he knew that Jesus was innocent. Now, go back to Matthew 27. This is the last verse I'll read to you. Matthew 27, verse 24. Matthew 27, 24, after Pilate had made the decision, says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. You know what he tried to do? He tried to distance himself from his decision. And that's probably the iconic picture. When you think of Pilate, don't you think of a man who's washing his hands? Pilate thought that mere water could wash away the ramifications of his answer. If you reject Christ, you won't be able to distance yourself from that decision. You won't be able to get around it. You won't be able to go over it, go under it. You'll have to live with your decision both now and all of eternity. Pilate could not wash his guilt away. Isn't there a song, What Can Wash Away My Sins? And it's not the baptistry. And it's not the basin, but what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. Pilate was trusting water to do what only the blood can do. Pilate thought that mere water would exonerate him in some way. And he tried to blame the people. But the truth is, Pilate made the wrong answer. And he had to live with his answer the rest of his life and all through eternity. As we close this morning, I hope God will fill in the holes of the inconsistency and the failures of the delivery of the message. I just hope you get this. If you get nothing else, that question is the most serious and solemn question you could ever ask or answer. What will I do with Jesus Christ? Can I tell you something? I answered the question when I was 8 years old, and I said to that question, I'll take him. I mean, I knew a good deal when I saw one. Even as an 8-year-old, I knew I had a good thing. Why don't you let the Holy Spirit deal with you this morning? If there's never been a point in time when you've trusted Christ as your Savior, listen to Pilate's question again. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What you do with him will determine what he does with you. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you now for your word and the power of it. And I pray that this morning you'd speak to the hearts of these dear folks. And Lord, I'm sure the majority of them, they've trusted you as Savior, and they're counting on your shed blood to get them to heaven and nothing else. They're trusting nothing else. But there may be some, Lord, maybe a few, maybe just one, maybe two, They have not answered this question yet. They have not faced the question. I pray you'd show them, Lord, they must face the question. What will they do with Jesus Christ? And we're going to have just a verse of an invitation here. And there'll be some men up at the front if you'd like to come and pray. We'll take the Bible and show you how you can be born again. Come face to face with this question this morning. Don't follow Pilate's pattern. Don't let the people turn you away from Christ. Come and trust Him as your Savior. Maybe you're here and you've trusted